Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the afternoon show. Ike Reese, Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks with you on a Tuesday afternoon. We're down at Citizens Bank Park, broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, Delaware Valley's only heart hospital. We'll get to some fills coming up here in the 3 o'clock hour as they take on the Astros again tonight. But obviously a big day for the Eagles. We're talking about whether we're overrating this team or not. And the moves have begun. Cut down time at 4 o'clock. And now we'll check in with Elliot Shore Parks, who's here with us. Elliot, sponsored by Groundworks. BQ Basement and Concrete is now Groundworks. New name, same great service, foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space experts. To book your appointment, go to groundworks.com. Elliot, in the breaking news desk, what do we got?
Yeah, so I would say we have three significant or noteworthy moves so far from the Eagles, as they have to get down to 53 players by 4 o'clock, so under an hour now. The most noteworthy one is, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Paris Campbell has been released. So Campbell signed to be the third receiver after the acquisition of Jahan Dotson. You know, his chance at that went away, but I think you could see him come back on the practice squad and still play week one against Green Bay. But he has been released. And then two players added to the injured reserve, rookie receiver Anaya Smith. This is according to Zach Berman of PHLY.com. And then according to the Inquirer, tight end Albert O, who was here last year, also heading to IR. So my guess is those two players are unlikely to play again this year. I don't think they would use two of their opportunities to bring players back on Smith or Albert O. So those are three players right there that won't be on the 53.
Any of those surprise you, Ike?
I guess Paris a little bit. I can't say he necessarily surprises me, but I thought he still had a chance to make the roster just because of his veteran presence and the fact that they wanted him here as the number three guy. Certainly was banged up all training camp, played in the last preseason game. That's never a good look for a veteran player, but they wanted to see him out there. To what Elliot said, I could still possibly see them bringing him back on the practice squad with these new rules that veteran players can be on the damn practice squad.
So he can sign to the practice squad and then be elevated three times.
Yeah.
So they could – and the other thing is with Paris Campbell, if he was on the initial 53, his salary is guaranteed for the full year.
Okay.
So this could be cut him and then bring him back.
Yeah.
He could be back on the team.
Yeah, because I would imagine Dotson, they traded for him so they take on his first-round draft pick.
Salary.
So
he's about $1.5 million,
yeah,
something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so yeah, other than that, the younger guys, I'm not surprised at all.
It feels like kind of an indication that, I mean, they feel like Dotson could be ready to be a big part of the offense week one. I mean, that's my biggest takeaway from it.
Yeah, I mean, Spadaro, I thought Spadaro made a good point on the pregame that he just has to learn the plays for week one.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to learn the whole playbook, which is, you know, obviously easier to do in a short time frame than taking everything that's been taught all offseason.
Yeah, if I'm the Eagles, I wouldn't try to force this. Listen, he's out there running routes, getting familiar with the offense. But there is something to having timing with the quarterback having familiarity with you, when you're coming out of your breaks, how you like to come out of your break, where the quarterback likes to place the ball. All of the nuances of the passing game matters and could be the difference between an interception, a drop pass on a key third down. So I think they may try to find ways to possibly get him the ball a couple of times, but I don't know how much of the offense I would be looking to make Dotson
in
week one.
He could be a decoy week one, basically. Run deep, you know, get attention from the defense. And we'll see if Paris Campbell's back, so, you know, certainly he could play week one. But I do think releasing him is a mistake. If he's not on the team this season, he's been your
all. Dog Campbell.
Campbell, yeah. I thought Campbell had a good OTAs. He was a guy they targeted early on. There was so much talk of how, you know, him and Nick and all that. He was hurt in training camp, which was part of it, for sure. He missed a lot of time. But this isn't a rookie. He's been in the league. He's shown upside. So I think he probably will be back, so I'm not banging the drum saying it's a massive mistake. But if Paris Campbell's gone, I think it was a mistake to let him go.
Yeah, kind of surprising. I expected them to keep Paris Campbell as a veteran presence.
I like the veteran presence. Like it.
Right, and kind of a comp to like a Zach Pascal a couple years ago, where he was on the team. You know, didn't have a ton of a role on offense, but was reliable if you did need to put him out there.
Yep.
So kind of surprising. And now, Elliot.
Just really quickly, I think this time of year we get so wrapped up in, you know, like potential or guys that had great training camps, guys that look good in the third preseason game. And those guys matter. You want to find young players that can help the team. But we spent the first hour talking about, is this team good enough to win the Super Bowl or not? And so a lot of these guys that have great training camps and look good in practice that are new, they're not really going to play a big role on the team this year. Paris Campbell has been in the NFL for 4 years. He has experience. He is somebody that I think would help this team this season. So yeah. I still think he'll be back, to be honest. But what we'll debate a lot today is youth versus experience. Mm-hmm. I am very, very much in the camp of, for this team, I'm going with experience over youth.
Yeah.
What are some of the things, Elliot, you're looking for here in the next hour? Names, positions, what are you most interested in?
So the biggest question is James Bradberry. James Bradberry obviously still on the team as of now with an hour to go. He's been on the team all offseason. When all offseason, you know, it's been thought that he would be let go. He's been playing safety in training camp. Vic Fangio has spoken highly of him. But, you know, like, he is an older player, and I think that, you know, that transition – to safety, he doesn't have obviously a ton of experience at the position, so there's no real financial benefit to cutting him. I think they opened maybe $1 million in cap space, but yeah, that's the big question heading into this final hour.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens.
And
with
I would
James Bradberry,
to be clear.
Yeah, and I would be fine letting him go. I would try. I don't know. My feeling is the Eagles are trying to trade him and they'll cut him.
Yeah, I just don't see a role that he plays on a team. You have young players. You got young players at his position. Sidney Brown's going to be coming back at some point. I just don't see, for a new role that he's barely even thriving at the safety position, regardless of what they're saying coming out of training camp, I just don't see the benefit of it.
So
even if he had to play, you think I'm feeling comfortable and confident that Bradberry is back there playing safety, going up against the Packers? Like, going up against who else we got? We got the Falcons. Like,
and Saints, maybe not so much.
I mean, if we were playing the Giants, okay. That's one thing. But we're playing real teams.
He got dusted by a third-string tight end in a preseason game.
Yeah, like, we're playing real teams.
So I agree, in a vacuum, if you look and just go, is James Bradberry a great backup safety? No, I agree with you on that. But someone has to be their backup safety. And if you look at the rest of their roster, I like Tristan McCollum. I think he's had a good preseason. Tristan McCollum's never played a meaningful snap in the NFL. Caden Stearns is intriguing. Caden Stearns can't even practice or play yet because of an injury. So Bradberry's taken a lot of reps.
Why did we trade him? Should have went and got Justin Simmons, man.
I agree. I agree with that. I mean, they signed Caden Stearns for what it's worth. But
they didn't trade from him?
He was cut and they signed him. But to your point, the safety position as a whole is a major question. I know everyone's excited about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I think he still has something to prove as a safety in the NFL.
Can he play a full season?
So yeah. While Bradberry, you know, is, again, never played the position, he at least has played a lot in the NFL. And I do think his experience in a too high safety where he's just doing half the field, it makes his job easier than asking him to go back there and go the whole field on single high safety.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Elliot will be
bringing down two high safety.
Well, you know,
he didn't do a bad job either. I was listening.
Ever since you shamed me for saying two receiver offense instead
of
don't
do that again, please.
Again, I was trying to simplify it for us non-football.
No, you said two cornerbacks.
Two cornerbacks. Yes. That was it. Two corner. Yeah.
I gotta say, a little more of a football guy show.
Yeah.
With
us,
Elliot and I replacing Jack and Spike.
Well, it's fine. Yeah, right? Finally here at the Philly Stadium, it's time to talk football.
Yeah. Hey, it's cut down day again. But we will get to the Phils coming up. Big win over the Astros last night. Huge victory, and now the Phils back at it tonight with Aaron Nola on the mound as they look to take game two of this series.
Knowles!
If you want to get on the Phils, you're welcome to 215-592-9494. Asking for overrating the Eagles, and also our next question today, what is a great what-if? As Allen Robinson, who a lot of people want in this town, I may have wanted him, he gets released by like the third team since that point today. What is a great what if? In this case, one that worked out here in Philadelphia. Let's go back to the phones. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, man. How we doing?
What up, Chris?
What up, Chris?
I got to get it in now before he gets back, so sorry to ask.
Yep.
Hey, Ike. All right.
Yes, sir.
Ike, you could take a break. I got your six here, all right, with these two guys.
Okay.
So let's start defense here. Linebackers. All right. We got Devin White. All right. We got Bond there, who's just holding place for Trott Jr. And actually, Elliot, at the end of my little tirade here, I hope you give me an update on that, because I'm hoping he starts the season. And then we get Nakomi Dean at depth behind there. And then the secondary guys, and this is a huge upgrade that we did not have last year, and this is what helps with the pass rush, because our secondary couldn't cover anything last year. They couldn't hold on anybody. This year we got Slay, we got Ringo, we got Rodgers, right? Then we also went out and drafted Quinion and Cooper DeJean. So I don't want to hear about how the defense is, you know.
Yeah, but
not
Chris, real quick, let me just push back if you don't mind. I think you're right. This secondary this year could end up being way better than last year. But I think what you're pointing out to me is one of the concerns about what we think versus what we know. This last year going into the season, we thought the Darius Slay and James Bradberry, they were coming off all pro seasons, right? How did they get Bradberry back? The secondary is going to be awesome. And it didn't work out. So with this team, I agree they could be better. We just don't know, right? We don't know if they're going to end up being
better. I know we had the worst secondary down throughout that collapse. We had the worst three by far in this season.
Know the collapse, for
they
sure.
gave up plays all day. So I know it's almost impossible for them to also be the 31 pass defense in the NBA. And I know that, not with this talent. I know they're going to be better than that. So let's move over to defense, right? So we just, you know, Howie, you know, if you look under his shirt, you'll see the Penn State logo there, because in the offseason on offense, about bringing it in the Nittany Lions, very smart man there. We got Jahan, and it's not Johan, Mike, it's Jahan.
Yeah, no, right? I'm there now.
Yo, when you said that when they acquired him, did I get that wrong?
I like the bit of you continuing to mess up his name, calling Johan. Yeah.
It's a staple of what he does here. But listen, stop trying to take shots at Ike. Ike knows what he's talking about with football here, guys. So listen, here's the thing with Jahan, guys. The problem with the Redskins is they drafted him to be number one or two. And as being a diehard Penn State guy, I knew he wasn't really that. If you put him in the split, he'll play in the slot. He can play in the outside. The fact that he's going to be a number three, where he actually can catch the football. Guys, imagine that slot receiver, that we don't have to question his hand, because you don't with him. And he does have speed. He's got 4.4 speed, all right? So he can do it. He's just small. He's a guy. So that's a massive upgrade. And then getting into the backfield. Dude, guys, I mean, we got Quadzilla in the backfield, all right? We got back there. He's going to make a huge difference. Unlike, you know, hey, we had a solid back last year, but that guy wasn't very good at pass blocking. Say Quad can pass all day long. And then my last thing, and ISP, I think you're with me, Jalen's going to have a banner year, because from what I understand, there's a guy that follows this team in the preseason. He broke the franchise no interception thrown passing record.
Yeah,
and I think,
well, I'm surprised it took an hour for that to come out.
Yeah. So I think he's going to be a top three, my opinion. He's going to be the MVP of the league, but I'll acquiesce and even concede he'll be five. All that said, there's definitely a 12-win team. So TK, this nonsense of they may not make the playoffs, that I think it's nonsense.
All right, Chris, what do you got for what if?
My what if is Andy Reid stayed and we got Pat Mahomes.
Oh, man. Appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
And now, we've done that show before.
Man. And they would have Patrick Mahomes.
You were with me on that.
Who knows what would have happened. Andy went up and got Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
It's clear Andy liked Patrick Mahomes.
Like, it is funny, like, the retrospect looking at that draft, because Trubisky went two. Did a quarterback go number one that year?
No, that was the D-lineman that went to San Francisco? Or it might have been Miles Garrett. It might have been Myles Garrett. Okay, yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah, it was the draft that was here.
Solomon Thomas went third, I think.
Yeah, and it's just crazy, because now we look at it and it's like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is this can't-miss prospect. No, Andy identified Patrick Mahomes, and a lot of teams
He went up 17. He went up from pick 27 to 10 to get him.
Oh, man. I also think the Mahomes –
that's a long way to go.
Could you imagine having Patrick Mahomes?
The Mahomes thing aside, Andy would have figured it out if he stayed here.
Yes.
I'm not saying firing him wasn't the right decision, eventually, everyone just needs to move on. Mm-hmm. But even without Mahomes, Andy is too good of a head coach and a quarterback guru not to have turned this around within a year or two of when they fired him.
Right. I will say, though, like, being here at the time, it would have been really hard to keep him. Like as far as after that 2012 season, tensions were pretty high. Like, it did not go well. 2011 did not go well. Yeah. And I think it was the right time for everybody to move on. It's just, and I love Andy, so I'm happy he's having the success that he's having. At the same time, as an Eagles fan, it's hard to watch that and think that could still be us.
Listen, that's a tough what if, man. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. But that's why I'm glad we got one.
Yeah,
I'm glad we got one. No. He could go down as the greatest coach ever. He certainly will go down as one of the five greatest coaches ever. And who knows how many rings he's going to have with this kid by the time they're done. Who knows?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I had to pick one head coach in history of the league to start my team with, I would pick Andy Reid. Just because, you know, A, the modern game, he's used to that. But what Andy does is more important than what Bill Belichick does. Bill Belichick's a great...
Especially for today.
Exactly. Bill Belichick's a great defensive coordinator. And obviously, as a head coach, he had success. But if I'm picking a head coach that I'm going to give a quarterback to, I'm giving him to Andy Reid.
Andy Reid or either Bill Walsh.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think he's maybe the best quarterback or the best coach in this modern time in the NFL. But I did want to follow up on one thing that Chris said. Because he talked about the secondary. And I think the secondary is interesting because... Yeah, the defense should be the secondary should be better than last year, but you are relying on a lot of young guys, and that's one of the things with this team is I just think there's so much variability there. Where it could work out very well, and the secondary could be great. Mm-hmm. There's also a scenario where these guys might not be able to play. I mean, just because they're drafted high, that doesn't mean that these guys are can't miss prospects and locks to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got to draft and develop guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I think with this team, and again, from Chris brought it up, the historic training game from Jalen Hurts, like that really matters. If Jalen has an outstanding season, he will cover up a lot of the other issues on this team. And when you break the record for throws without interception, that's a good indication. But he needs protection back there to have that translate into the regular season, and that's my main concern. Because you're right,
dude,
it's high variable.
If you talk this offensive line into being bad
I'm
this
not
year,
talking him into
yeah, you are.
I'm just saying,
here,
it's not on Elliott.
Yeah. It is
no,
on Elliott.
No, it's not.
I mean, you're trying to put this juju over
the
damn
along.
Old line,
I'm
man.
Just passing the news along. The line did not look good in training camp.
Hey, and that's a totally
that
fair
does
thing to say.
Well, listen.
The interior of the offensive line matters. Like, guards matter.
Sure, we got good guards. One
I hope we do. We have one of them. One of them's really good.
Yeah.
The other one,
we don't know. We're going to find out.
We hope he's good.
Yes.
Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Tommy. Hey, Ike. Elliot.
What up?
What up, Tasty Cake?
Dom? I'm going to try real hard to make intelligent sense because I've been fired up since 3 minutes after two. Who the heck is this Nick Wright? How could anybody, Ike, pick Washington or New York to finish ahead of the Eagles?
Right.
That's ridiculous. And this breakdown that the only thing the Eagles got is two great wide receivers. Elliot, here's what I want to tell you. You know what the Eagles season is going to be this year?
What?
It's going to be a Space Jam. Saquon's going to be running behind the Monstars. These aren't big men, Elliot.
They
these
are. They're a huge offensive
men.
Line.
Landon Dickerson is a giant.
I agree.
Cam is the lightweight at 303 pounds. They're going to bulldozer over people.
They might have
rock,
the biggest
they're
offensive.
Gonna pancake people.
They might have the biggest offensive line in league history, or at least certainly up there. When you look at Becton at guard and Landon at the other guard spot, both their tackles are huge. Absolutely.
Yeah, gigantic men. They're going to run over people. And the other thing that I have to say defensively is, one way to play great defense is not to play defense. The Eagles are going to monopolize the time clock this year. The Eagles' defense is only going to be on that field one-third of the game. The Eagles are going to lead the NFL in time
of possession. If they're smart, Tasty K. Dom,
that's
what they need to be doing.
The NFL in time of possession.
Yep. I agree with that.
Right. And the other thing that I got to tell Ike is, right off the bat, Ike, what you said, if the Sixers had Reggie Evans last year, they'd have beat them Knicks.
There's a tease.
Reggie
the Sixers
Evans
one
is every
Ike
single thing that the Eagles need. Hustle, desire, will to. He's got your height.
I'm telling you, man, If I was 6'6", I would have been there, I'm telling you.
Evans. Same.
Is that your what if, Dom? What if the Sixers had Reggie Evans last year?
No, but my what if... Tom, can I change it? Because I thought a better one while I was. My what if 1986 they don't trade Roy Henson for the number one pick and they just say Brad Daugherty, and for the next 10 years you have Charles Barkley and Brad Daugherty playing next to each other.
Well, there you go, Tom. Appreciate
that's
it.
That's a good one.
I wasn't alive then, but I've heard that was a controversial decision.
Yes, you wasn't alive then. Thank you.
I wanted to clarify that just for you, Ike.
Twitter would have been on fire back then.
Yeah. They traded the number one pick instead of taking Brad Daugherty?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Is that what they did?
I think so.
According to Tasty Cake.
Yeah. And Tasty Cake knows everything about
Sixers. Oh, yeah, he's Sixers, yes.
Sixers historian. Let's go to Gary in Vineland. What's up, Gary?
What's going on? Hey, sorry for yesterday. I was not on speaker. I just had somebody that was trying to talk to me right through the "I'm on the phone" symbol.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that was, I got to say, Gary, that was a bad call. If Spike was here, you would have gotten a lot of trouble. Probably been banned today.
Yep, pretty much. What, Ike, man, this week zero of high school football, you got to catch any of the battle at the beach?
What'd you say?
High school football, I think he said?
High school football.
Oh, high school football, yeah. It doesn't get started this week.
Battle at the beach this week. My battle son's at the beach? Team is playing in it.
Oh, you're talking about flag football.
No, tackle.
Battle at the beach? I'm going to wear this.
Battle at the beach. ING Academy is down in Ocean City.
Got you. See, you know what? Listen, my son's been out of high school for like 3 years now from playing football, so I don't really keep up as much.
I got to say, Gary, not a great start today either.
Oh, man.
Spike definitely would not have allowed this to happen.
Yeah, yes. Spike would have moved on.
So what do we got, Gary?
I just think it's just ridiculous that everybody counts the Eagles out. You know, every year the Cowboys are going to win. Now they're putting Washington ahead of us. I just don't understand how you say we don't have talent. There's so much talent on this team. And like the last guy was saying, the offensive line is gigantic.
So I don't think anyone's saying they don't have talent. They probably have one of, you know, the top five most talented rosters in the league. The issue is, are they talented at the right spots? Like, they clearly are very talented at receiver, running back, tight end. I think the corners are very intriguing. The linebackers could be better. But if you look at the talent on the offensive and defensive line, I don't know where they would stack up to the rest of the league. Are they top 10? Probably. But ultimately, to win a Super Bowl and make it to the Final Four in the conference championship, you need to have one of the best units on both sides of the ball, and that is my concern.
Yeah, I think the coach is going to bring that unit up. I think we're going to see a big difference this year.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I think you're banking on, Gary, is the coaches to make a big difference. And off Elliott's point, I think this team's extremely talented in a lot of areas. It's just there are other spots that are important where they're lacking the depth that they traditionally have. What do you got for a what
I just think young players and young coaches just didn't mix last year. And how about instead of picking Rager, we get Jefferson, or we trade up and get CeeDee Lamb as Carson?
There it is. There it is. I was wondering when that was coming up.
Now, here's an interesting one with that.
Surprised it took this one.
Exactly, yeah.
You don't have Devontae and AJ at that point, probably. Now, you might have one and the other, but
no,
I think that
I don't think we have.
They definitely don't
have. I don't think we have either. Because if Justin Jefferson is as good as he was early, I don't think Howie feels the need to go out and trade for A.J. Brown after getting Justin Jefferson.
I also think
they may draft another wide receiver. Yeah. Like Minnesota wind up doing. They wind up drafting Addison.
Right. Who's good, by the
way. Yeah, it was pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, the Eagles may have done it. I tell you, though, the Eagles surprised me like a year or two ago, 2 years ago, when A.J. got here and he was doing what he was doing. And the Eagles, so basically last year, offseason. Mm-hmm. We had started to have, I know at least on our show, we had started to hint at, are the Eagles going to be able to keep A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith?
Yeah.
Pay both of these guys number one wide receiver money. I never thought I'd see the day this would happen. But the Eagles recognize the value in having premium talent. They understand the importance of the passing game and where the league is moving, where the money in the league is moving. The money in the league has moved to wide receivers. So they are a premium. So the Eagles, we wouldn't be an outlier to have two guys. The Dolphins did it. Mm-hmm. Like, other teams are doing it if they have that. I don't know what San Francisco is doing.
Well, their receivers aren't as good.
But you still need two of them.
So
I mean, Debo and Brandon Ayuk.
And you can expand the skill positions as a whole.
Hold on. Yeah. Their receivers aren't as good, but somehow their quarterback had the best efficiency last year, the most yards per completion, like 90 yards per completion.
Yeah, no, their receivers are good, but I would also say to your point about keeping both of them, I think both AJ and Devontae deserve some credit, too, on this.
For wanting to be here,
but also just their relationship. They are, you know, they talk about it, like best friends, they talk all the time, their families are close, and I think that makes it easier to have two stud receivers like that stay around, because I'm sure deep down there, you know, each of them wants the ball thrown their way, but I've never gotten the sense that there's any genuine jealousy between the two. But that matters, you know, because
we're not really getting paid.
Exactly. But even then, I just think their willingness to be okay with the other person getting more targets matters when keeping that duo together. Money helps, but so does the fact that they're close and there's no natural disagreement or natural tension between them.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you got that with Waddle and Tyreek.
Yeah.
T. Higgins and Chase.
Jamar Chase,
Yeah, these The dude, these dudes are young and rich. They shouldn't be mad about anything.
Just one more.
These dudes are rich at 25 years old, bro. Like,
well, I think it helps too when you're when you draft guys from schools where they have a ton of talent around.
Exactly, I agree with you on that. You know, especially Devontae.
When Devontae comes from Alabama and everybody there is a top whatever pick. I mean, even Landon.
I think that does matter.
Look at Georgia, right? So I mean, AJ not as much, I guess. But regardless, I think that matters when building a locker room.
Yep.
One more thing off what Chris said: Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson, a Mount Rushmore WIP topic over the last 5 years, without a doubt.
In terms of
Yeah, for sure. That's one of
How many phone calls did we take for years about
until we got AJ?
Could have taken Justin Jefferson over Jalen.
Well, that's one reason how he did all that. He's like, I'll make sure we don't bring up Justin Jefferson anymore. My money well spent on that one for how he just sleep better at night.
That's true.
That's exactly right. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everybody's calls. Continue talking about the Eagles. Are we overrating them going into this year? Also, we will get to the Phillies a little more in the game last night, and we'll check back in with Elliot at the breaking news desk. Cuts coming up at 4 o'clock today, so we'll see what the Eagles are doing as of now. Ike Reese, Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks, Afternoon Show, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Sports Radio 94, WIP, this is the Afternoon Show. TK and ESP in for Spike and Fritz today. We're broadcasting live.
From all-time summer jam right there.
What is that?
It's Cameron and Kanye.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I didn't know it.
I'd say... First, I thought it was like elevator music or something.
Nah, it's not elevator music.
Well, I didn't realize until like 10 seconds in.
Yeah, it came on kind of slow.
Mike and I looked at each other. Like, what is Fran?
What is he exactly? What is Fran playing back there?
You gotta wait for the drop, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we see now.
Yeah. Good job.
All time summertime bop right there.
Elliot approved. There you go. We're broadcasting live from the DeBora Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. DeBora Heart and Lung Center, the Delaware Valley's only heart hospital. Phil's on the field taking batting practice right now. And, you know, we
saw
talk
Cash
about
Day out there.
Yeah. Do you look good?
Man, yeah. Arms look good. Tattoos, tan.
Nice. Yeah, Casty looks good getting off the bus.
Yeah.
You know?
Slow down, Teeks.
I'm just saying. You know?
This is the show of pause.
Good looking. Yeah,
you're
pause.
Dangerously close.
Slow down, Teeks.
But the Phil's a big win last night. And I don't know about you guys. It's the best I've felt about the team in a while. Mm-hmm. Just watching them win a game like that. That looked like the team through the first 65. Only scored 3 runs, but wheels was great. Bullpen was great. Big-time defensive plays when you needed them, and offense doing what they needed to do. I thought it was just a really well-played game and a good win against a good team last night.
Yeah, certainly a good win against a good team. I don't want to take that away from the boys last night. 3 in a row, definitely needed that. Love for them to come out there and get another one tonight. Because you don't have Sanchez going tomorrow. You got Taiwan Walker going tomorrow.
Your boy.
So.
You too. Could be here in Taiwan section.
Yeah, somehow, they got thrown on us yesterday,
standing
Elliot.
Standing ovation
for
Taiwan.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am not taking that one.
Support him.
So, yes, I'm not with Taiwan on that. But, yeah, you got Aaron Nola on the mound tonight, so they need to go come back and take care of business tonight. Because here's the thing, TK, and I hate to be that dude, because you know me, I am Johnny Optimistic. I'm a glass half full guy, man. That's the way I rock. And I'm excited about this team, but I'm also apprehensive as far as jumping back in with both feet. Like, here we go.
That's fair.
So I need Knowles to come out tonight, my guy. Take care of business. Win this series. That way I don't have to it lessens what I know is coming tomorrow. Do you imagine losing tonight and then that tomorrow? The type of anger that's going to be in this city for the next 2 days. That's why I don't want it. Let Knowles come out here and take care of business. Offense, who's pitching for? Verlander's pitching tonight.
Is it Verlander?
Right? I think so. Mm. Okay.
That's tough.
Check that out. he's not the same
potential.
He's not the same guy. But listen, for some reason against us, everybody seems to have one of their best nights pitching.
Yeah.
So
it does feel that way.
I won't be ridiculous and ask for 6-7 runs. But give me 5. We can run Verlander early, get to the bullpen a little bit, see if we can score some runs late in the game. I could take a 5-2, 5-3 win tonight.
It is Verlander tonight. Phillies lineup, same as last night, with Bryson Stott hitting 6th, JT Realmuto hitting 7th. I'm not sure if that's the way it was, but everybody else still in the lineup started last night. Another big thing. Talked about on Leading Off yesterday. Brandon Marsh homers again last night.
Needed it.
That's good news, man. They need him coming through offense.
He's been good recently.
One of us had a Marsh home run last night. plus 750. Had to do it. Look
at you.
Had to do it when the odds.
Surfside's on you after the show.
Well, you know that.
There you go. Well, I won't be partaking. I'll be engineering.
Yeah, too
up
bad.
In the booth
too bad. Too bad for you, Tease.
Yeah, too bad.
But last night, Marsh with a big hit. Certainly needed that. Again, we talked about this yesterday. Bottom of the lineup coming up.
Yep.
Helping out, contributing.
Yeah.
Bryce got the big hit in the extra innings. I think Trey had two hits last night, right?
And a big walk. That big walk in the 10th inning to get it to Bryce there.
So you know, I just need him to come back out tonight. Don't throw away last night by having a bad night tonight.
Well, that's what's really, I think, obviously kept this team back the past few months is they've been unable to string together momentum. Yeah. They've had good wins, as you mentioned, TK, yesterday. Like, they had big wins against the Marlins. They had the sweep against the Dodgers. Like, there have been moments where we've sat here and gone, yeah, they're back. But feels like it's always been followed up by losing two of three or losing two straight series, losing the first one at home. They got the job done last night. I thought it was an encouraging win. I always think when this team can win without hitting four home runs, it feels like a more sustainable way to win games. So the fact that yesterday they won a low-scoring game, they got it done in extras, I thought it was a good sign to fight for this team, a way they could win in the postseason. But you got to come out tonight and keep the momentum going.
And hey, Nola's been good. But I just asked this one thing from Aaron Nola.
Yeah.
Keep the ball in the ballpark. All right? Just don't give up a home run
tonight.
You're
getting one. You know he's giving up one. He's giving up one. Just be prepared. Let's hope there's no one on base.
Yordan Alvarez.
It's a solo shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Just be Yordan Alvarez. Give up a solo shot to Alvarez in the first.
Yeah. Just one is coming tonight.
And that could be the allotment. But, Ike, you have your Phillies hat on. I don't think you even need a hat on right now because you're bold and beautiful.
Yeah, but – that's nice. I like that, TK. Go. I was about to go into the hat. Never did.
Yeah, I didn't like, know. Look at this compliment coming my way out of nowhere.
TK was doing there. Nice assist, brother. Yes. Thank you, brother. For years, you've heard the Glatt Group on WIP talking about their amazing services. Appreciate the fine compliments from TK, letting me know that I'm bald and beautiful, but not everybody could be so lucky. Now, the Glatt Group, they know so many people that think hair restoration is a one-and-done procedure, but that's not the case. The Glatt Group have restoration treatments to strengthen your hair before you even need a hair transplant, as well as options to maintain your existing hair after a transplant. And their newest option is completely non-invasive. No needles, no pain, no downtime. It's called TED, which stands for transepidermal delivery. Now, it's where the growth factors are delivered directly to the hair follicles, and both men and women are seeing great results from this procedure. What are you waiting for? Give my friends at the Glatt Group a call. Always at the forefront of technology. Call them today, 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com. Again, that number is 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com and tell them Ike Reese sent you.
Back to the phones in a minute here, but 20 minutes to go before cut down coming up at 4 o'clock. Anything you've seen new, Elliot, since last
check? Yeah, so a report from the Inquirer that it seems like James Bradberry will be on the team past 4 o'clock today. Now, doesn't mean he'll be on the roster week one. The 53-man roster they put out at 4 o'clock will change between now and then, but looks like Bradberry is going to survive and be on the initial roster.
How's your roster looking right now? I know you and the other beat writers have your big competition.
Yeah, and that's what I don't even like, because this is what he's really happy about right now.
Well,
yeah.
They all make such a big deal about it on Twitter, and everybody else feels like they're out of the loop. It seems like a fun game to play.
Anyone's welcome to play.
Well, listen, it's great for them. They're out there every day watching the team, so I don't begrudge them for doing that. I'm not about to go through 53 freaking players on this team.
I got the practice squad, too.
You put a roster together?
Nah. Oh. Nah.
Surprise, you seem like a roster guy.
I'll tell you what, the funny thing is, earlier in doing this, I was trying to do everything.
Yep, yeah.
Like preseason? I don't know, man.
You're too much of a veteran of the game.
Well, preseason isn't the same anymore. Right. So it doesn't have the same feel. Yeah, I remember, I started back doing this when we were still going up to Lehigh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Andy was still having his full live practices and things of that nature.
I only did 2 years at Lehigh.
Yeah, so.
But it was different, to say the least.
I didn't mind trekking it up there to Lehigh.
Oh, you get night live from Lehigh? There you go. But
I'm down there in the valley with all
the trailer,
swamps and the bugs.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
The players probably like it being here, I would think.
Yes, I would imagine. Yes, I would have preferred it here.
Yeah.
Well, once you get down to the 50 through 53rd men on the roster, you know, not the most compelling radio, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think the Bradberry thing obviously is a little surprising. But other than that, I'm not sure if there's any other roster move that – or is there, like, somebody we're hanging on to trying to see if they're going to make the team or not make the team?
Not really. And honestly, I do think that is an indication of the depth on this team not being great.
I was going to say, look at it as a
– as a negative. Because I think most years when we've done this, it's, okay, they have to find a way to keep this guy. They can't cut this guy. How are they going to let this guy go?
Well, some corners – they got some good corners.
Yeah, but they're probably going to keep most of them. I mean, Eli Ricks might go, but outside of that, who at corner are they going to release that, right, that would be devastating? I mean,
we're not devastating.
Not sorry, but I mean, we would be disappointed that he had a great camp.
No one young.
I mean, think of how many years.
You think Avante's going to make it?
I think Avante's definitely going to make it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of years and this isn't a corner, but Rashid Bailey would have an awesome
camp, receiver,
and everyone's waiting
Dale
to see
State,
if he'll make the team. Yeah. Or running backs. Normally, it's a skill position.
PT Cruiser, Paul Turner.
That's the thing. I think it's that they're not those guys at those positions. Like, it's usually a wide receiver or running back, a guy like that who you're thinking they got to keep, and then they usually end up cutting them. But
so receiver, what do you think they're doing at receiver? How many receivers do you think they're keeping?
So obviously, I had them keeping six. One of them is already gone. But A.J. Devontae Dotson, clearly going to make the team. Johnny Wilson, definitely going to make the team. Britton Covey, I think, is 99% going to make the team. He could potentially be a surprise cut, but I think he's going to make the team. So they're at five right there. That's probably it. I mean, they're not. They already cut Paris Campbell. Anaya Smith is going to go on IR. So they'll probably keep five receivers. They'll probably put some on the practice squad, maybe promote one for the game. And then two tight ends. They're only.
I'll tell you what. I would have kept Paris Campbell, and I don't know if I would have kept Brent Covey. Mm. Brent Covey's a nice kid, and it's a great story that he's here. But, you know, the punt returns, the nice one to get him. But is he the only one that can return punts?
Well,
I mean, now you got Cooper DeJean here now. You got the kid from Clemson, the running back.
Oh, Shipley, yeah.
Shipley.
Yeah.
Because Covey's not going to give you anything at wide receiver.
So I mostly agree with you on that. I do. But he has had outstanding training camp. Like, he has looked considerably improved. Now, he has to prove it. I agree with you. Week one, I don't want Covey getting seven targets against the Packers. I don't think he'll
play. I don't think he's going to get one target.
Yeah, no, I agree. The punt returner thing is what's interesting. Because you're right. If he's not going to contribute as a receiver, you have to be such a plus in special teams. But he was very good as a punter.
He was good. I'm not going to knock him.
Good.
I'm not going to knock him for his punt returning.
And I think one thing he's good at, outside of the electric plays, he does make smart decisions. When to fair catch the ball.
He does?
I think so. Do you disagree?
I think he's done a pretty good job of it. Is he a guy that in some ways is hurt by the new kickoff rule and the fact of it being different now where it's easier for guys to do?
Yeah, well, and I don't even think he doesn't return kicks.
It wasn't even a kick return.
Yeah, he doesn't return kicks.
I thought he was last year. Okay.
No, so it was Boston Scott last year, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And this year, I think it'll be Kenny and Isaiah Rodgers.
Okay.
You think Isaiah Rodgers?
I think it will be those two, yeah. And it'll be Covey on punt return. But to your point, if they
who was,
don't
was
think,
Kenny?
Kenny Gainwell, sorry.
Gainwell,
Kenny,
okay.
Yeah. And right. I think Shipley could potentially do it. Okay. But I think Kenny Gainwell is, you know.
Probably gets those reps.
Got to find something for Kenny to do now.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be getting a ton of snaps this year.
But the tough thing, too, is does Britton Covey make it through waivers? Do you think he'd be claimed by a team? Whereas Paris Campbell doesn't go through waivers.
I don't think he'd be claimed.
I don't think so either, but he was very, very good as a punt returner last year.
All right.
Yeah. But it's a good thing, I guess, about this team that the biggest.
And our special teams was pretty good last year. Shout out to Michael Clay.
They were. Yeah.
So 15 good. Minutes left until final cuts.
Yeah, 15 minutes. It looks like no new news
as of now. Yeah. We'll check back in with Elliot at 4 o'clock. 215-592-9494.
I did that yesterday a couple times.
Yeah, not doesn't roll off the tongue.
Let's go back to the phones. Fabian in Miami. What's up, Fabian?
Hey guys, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Fabian, I like that name, man.
Yeah, I like your opinion too, man. I see you're the only one got your head straight.
Yeah, that's usually how it works around here.
What do you disagree
with?
What
the Eagles are over. I don't understand. You guys sit here and give all these excuses to all these other teams, but when it comes to the Eagles, you sit there and basically take it away from them. Like,
Fabian, what excuses are we giving to other teams? We're looking at the Eagles roster and pointing out holes where, I mean, they have holes. They have a lot of spots on this team where I don't think you can definitively say they're going to be great in this area.
Okay, with this, the way that this team is built, obviously you can clearly see that it's offensive heavy. So with the younger defense, yeah, I get it. But with Patrick Mahomes, when he beat us in the Super Bowl, what was the case? Oh, they won because they had a good offense and the secondary was all young. But they didn't need the second. They didn't need the defense to be great. They just needed them to be okay, not to blow a big lead, and for the offense to come and do the job. So that's basically what we're looking at here with the Eagles. And then you guys sit here and you say, oh, well, Saquon, you know, we don't know what he has. Saquon, they basically had him running the Wildcat in New York. Like, they had, like, he was by himself. Then you got Kellen Moore, right? Kellen Moore, he didn't just get fired from the Chargers because he was a bad OC. No, you had Justin Herbert, who can't stay healthy. He's overrated. He had a number one receiver in the first round that just decided he can't catch a ball. And then you have all these injuries. Like, that's why he got fired. And, you know, Harbaugh coming in, you know he was bringing in his own staff. I that's what I'm saying. I just don't understand. Josh Allen, like Ike was saying, this guy leads the league in interceptions every year and turnovers. He loses to the same team in the playoffs, the Chiefs, every year, and yet he's an elite quarterback. But Jalen Hurts.
Well, Fabian, everybody loses to the Chiefs every year.
Well, not Joe Burrow.
We beat the Chiefs last year.
Well, Fabian, hold on. Really,
that's
really,
right. Not Jalen.
Yeah. Jalen beat Patrick Mahomes last year. Here's what I would say, Fabian, because you're right. Like,
we're 1-1, right? Super we're 1-1.
Yeah.
It is somewhere in the middle. What you're saying is true. It's probably not all glass half empty. But I also think the flip side of that is this team was one of the worst teams in the league last year when the season ended. That's where they fell to. And so they have to go back to being a 13-win team, a Super Bowl contender. And I think they are a Super Bowl contender. A lot has to change from last year. I don't think it's one or two simple fixes from last year, right? The coordinators have to be better than last year. I think they will be. We don't know for sure. Jalen has to be way better against the blitz. Like, this team is not, you know, they were not a true contender at the end of last year. So moving them into that category, I don't think it's crazy to ask to see things change.
And I agree with that, Elliot. But last year week one against the Patriots, I called in and I said, are we sure that was not Nick Sirianni calling plays instead of Brian Johnson? And come to behold, at the end of the season, that's basically what it was. And this year, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have them losing 6 out of 7 games because we got offensive coordinators and a defensive coordinator who know what they're doing. They have experience. They're better than Nick Sirianni. He's a good coach. He does all the little things, whatever. But these guys know what they're doing, and they're in this position to do exactly that, not to sit there and be overruled by the head coach. No, they're going to be making these decisions in these games. I don't see them losing more than 5 games at most this year.
Fabian, what do you got for what if?
Yeah, what if I kind of pivoted my question. I would say what if the Eagles would have beat Tampa Bay and went on to play Oakland in that Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Mm. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Fabian was on your good side until that.
Well, we got that one out of the way. But, yeah, we still got a couple more to get in there. We got the Rams. We got the Panthers.
Yeah. The Cardinals.
We got actually New England in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
What if the Eagles traded for T.O. a year earlier? Maybe they
would
have won the Super Bowl that year.
What if the Eagles had just kept me?
Yeah.
Yep.
How about that?
Can I get that one out there?
That's what people say.
I was leaving it up to the audience to see if someone would say it. We're getting close to 4 o'clock.
Would 2005 have been different? Is what you're saying?
Yes.
We were talking about it yesterday. As you are going to be, congratulations, by the way, starting your new podcast with T.O. and Donovan.
I was about to say what?
You could have been the mediator that year and kept everything together.
I don't know, man.
You wouldn't have that kind of sway, that kind of power over T.O.?
Listen, I don't know. I think T.O. was a runaway freight train that year, man. I don't know if anybody was stopping him.
I meant to ask you this yesterday. I'm curious. When you were there in 2004, were there any early indications it was going to go that way, or was it shocking to you from Atlanta to see the way it went?
Well, here's the thing. I just know where it originated. You know, he talked about it in his book. Mm-hmm. I do remember the game up in New York where I didn't know at the time what had happened out on the field when he told T.O. to shut the bleep up and get back in the huddle. And T.O. told him he thought he was open on a play or what have you. But I think that's where the friction may have originated.
So you couldn't tell in the locker room?
No, they got into it after the game.
Oh, okay.
So we
saw that.
That was the first time like that it happened. Okay. And, you know, we got a little nervous at the time. Like, oh, Lord, we ain't all the way through the season yet. You know, because, he came here with a reputation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody was aware that he could be volatile at times, and so he hadn't gotten along with his past few quarterbacks, and we didn't want to see that happening here. Donovan had never had to go through anything like that as a quarterback at that time, but he hadn't dealt with a personality like that. So, you know, long story short, I did not envision it getting to where it got to the next year.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles did either.
I thought the offseason could settle down a lot of things, but – You know, T.O. is one of those people, man. If he feels like you've crossed him, he's not going to let it go.
Well, especially –
he's just not going to let it go.
You right. know what I mean? And especially this kind of organization. Yeah. Like, you figure – because there's – at that time, especially, mm-hmm. very little dissension. I mean, it was so well run with, yep. with Joe Banner and
Andy. We hadn't dealt with any of that, yeah.
Right. That was probably shocking to everybody.
Yeah. And yeah. And those guys probably didn't know how to, you know, we had great leaders in that locker room and Dalk and Trot and Westbrook and guys like that. Hugh was in the locker room. But when somebody is hell bent on, you know, getting their way and behaving a certain way, you can't stop a grown man from doing something.
Especially
you know when
it's about the contract, too.
Yeah, so, and to be honest with you, there were players that felt like he had somewhat of a legitimate gripe.
Yeah.
For what he had basically sure. came back from and sacrificed for us in that Super Bowl. So, you know, I will always feel a certain way towards him because I saw what he gave mm-hmm. and put his body on the line. So we certainly appreciated that, but also understand what the foundation, the fabric of the organization was, and I feel like I was a part of that. So you can't come in and just disrupt all of that either. We built something
yeah.
for years here, and so you can't just come in and just try to tear that down.
Well, I personally can't wait to listen to the podcast. So best of luck, guys.
See what T.O. thinks about that.
Yeah, when you guys get together. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Time for a check on our Twitter poll question of the day. Are we overrating the 2024 Eagles? Right now, 68% of the audience say no. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the 94 WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Challenge. Shop the home team at marks-jewelers.com. When we get back, the cut should be in. We'll let you know what the Eagles' 53-man roster looks like and get back to all your calls. Afternoon Show, Ike Reese, Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.